Hello and welcome to Crime Theories Off the Record, the podcast series where I talk about my interpretation of crime theories. This is your host, Karen. Hello everyone, it is so good to be back. For a little recap, we are still venturing into labeling theory through the works of scholars who either felt that labeling theory could do better or led them to look at different perspectives. But before I jump into this, I would like to remind everyone that I am not an expert in every aspect of my field, but I have researched the topic. Story time. A little backstory about Professor Lawrence Sherman is that he held a joint appointment with the University of Cambridge Institute of Criminology. He is the director of the Jerry Lee Center of Experimental Criminology and Wolfson Professor of Criminology Emeritus. His research has advanced the application of criminology to public policy in partnership with over 30 countries, including the UK, Australia, Denmark, Sweden, Hong Kong, to name a few. And for those who hesitate to dedicate their lives to teaching or doing research, his publications have affected public policies in a variety of ways. One way includes the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to restrict police powers to shoot people, which cited Sherman's research predicting that banning gunshots at fleeing suspects could not cause increases in crime or in violence against police officers. He can also be attributed to massive changes in policy patrol patterns, which resulted from Sherman's 1987 finding that over half of all reported crime and disorder happened at just 3% of the property addresses in a major city. This finding has since been consistently replicated in other cities. He showed that exactly where and when crime will happen is far more predictable than anyone had previously thought, thus laying the theoretical and empirical basis for what's now called hotspot policing, which was something I have researched and even mapped for my thesis. Off the record, if you are someone interested in domestic violence and restorative justice literature, you will become acquainted with his work as his colleague Heather Strang and Sherman discovered that restorative justice conferences between violent offenders and their victims reduced repeat offending across 9 out of 10 restorative justice experiments they designed across a wide range of offense types, offenders, and points in the criminal justice system. Now, back to the theory. Sherman 1993 began with the observation that labeling theory does not account for the many examples of sanctions reducing crime. At the same time, he realized that there also are many examples in which sanctions increase crime. Given these seemingly opposed realities, Sherman noted that there is pressing need for a theory of the criminal sanction that will address the question, under what conditions does each type of criminal sanction reduce, increase, or have no effect on future crimes? Sherman's 1993 central concept is that of defiance, which he defined as the net increase in the prevalence, incidence, or seriousness of future offending against a sanctioned community caused by a proud, shameless reaction to the administration of criminal sanction. A critical insight is that when offenders are mistreated or with disrespect by police officers and or the court, or when they perceive such mistreatment, they are likely to act defiantly. In such cases, criminal sanctions are not given legitimacy by offenders and are incapable of bringing about their intended effect of reducing crime. If anything provoking defiance causes offenders to assert their anger and autonomy by flouting the law and recidivating, there is some empirical evidence to support this thesis. However, Sherman understood that defiance does not inevitably follow from unjust treatment or from what I discussed in our previous episode called stigmatizing shaming. Three factors in particular are seen as increasing the risk that disrespect and unfairness will prompt increased offending. It is important to note that first, when offenders have few social bonds with the community, there is little to restrain their defiance and rising criminal inclinations. Secondly, offenders are more likely to be defiant when they perceive the sanction as stigmatizing, not their actions, but rather the offenders personally. Third, when offenders deny or refuse to acknowledge the stigmatizing shame imposed on them, they are more likely to respond with pride and use crime to exact revenge on conventional society. Empirical tests of these propositions remain in short supply. The absence of research is likely because existing datasets do not contain measures of the theory's key components. The studies undertaken show mixed support for the perspective. Regardless, the value of Sherman's work is that it shows that criminal sanctions can backfire, and through processes such as defiance, create the kind of self-fulfilling prophecy first identified by labeling theorists. The theory's implications are especially disquieting because many offenders targeted for searches and arrests by police are youths who come from street families. Off the record, if that rings a bell, is because we did discuss this in Anderson's Code of the Streets episode. So if you need a little refreshing, don't forget to check that out. Now, as Sherman noted, these adolescents are likely to be treated with little respect and might act in ways that provoke harsh response from police officers. They also are likely to have weak social bonds and a code that accords little legitimacy to conventional attempts to disrespect them. This might be one reason why police interactions with inner-city minority youths are potentially volatile. The conditions are conducive to defiance. More generally, Sherman's theory could predict that unless considerable attention is paid to the quality of relationships between inner-city youths and criminal justice representatives, like the police, judges, or probation officers, attempt to sanction these youngsters might prove to be counterproductive, fostering defiance and not deterrence. Thank you for listening and choosing this podcast. This episode is brought to you by Anchor. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Spotify or whatever platform you're listening from. And don't forget to tune in for the next episode. Off the record, if you need help visualizing these theories, go check us up on Instagram at ct.offtherecord.